It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14.
For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
First he says, we forgive others, so you forgive us. And now he says, if you don't forgive other people who did something wrong to you, then Father is not going to forgive you. First of all, he is teaching, if you want to get forgiveness from God, then you start forgiving others. And people said, oh, I'm not going to forgive that person. You don't know what he did to me. Christ forgave his enemy, right? And so he has given us an example that you should forgive. God is not looking how many times you go to church, how much tithe you give. He's not counting that. He's saying, if our God is love, and if he loved me, and if he has forgiven me, then I should be forgiving others. That is the God's desire.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
The Lord is saying, I am looking at your heart. Do you know, Samuel told Saul, you wait until I come and don't do the sacrifice. But he did it anyhow. Another time God says, destroy all these animals and everything. And he didn't do it. And so Samuel comes and he says, why are you doing it? He says, I do it to please God. What Samuel says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Go to the 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23.
And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
See what he's trying to say? If you disobey, that is like a sin of witchcraft, rebellion. That means disobeying is rebellion. When you disobey God, or you don't listen to them, or your parents, or higher authority, anybody. So he says, when you do that, that is the sin of witchcraft. And so the word of God says, God wants obedience, not the sacrifice. People sometimes give somebody big gift to their boss or somebody, and when they walk away, they say, hey, this person should be killed, or this person should be dead. And they give the gift to just to please them, but their heart, they are saying bad things. God knows you, everything, what is in your heart. So he says, when you come to me, I want your pure heart, not the gift. Okay, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Start reading from verse 16.
Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
We saw about giving, we saw about praying. Now he is saying about fasting. There are people, different religious people, Hindu people fast, Muslim people fast. Now, I don't know, you never saw Hindu people fasting. But the Hindu people's fasting like this. They don't eat food, but they eat peanuts, coconut, all the nuts and everything they eat. They don't eat the regular food. And so they eat so much on the fasting day and say, we are fasting. Muslim people different. They fast whole day and eat whole night. And so actually what they do, they sleep on daytime and get up in the evenings when the sun set and they start eating. And so there is no fasting. And not only that, when sometimes if somebody has no habit of fasting, 3 hours or 4 hours you didn't eat, they get headache, they get panic, and instead of praying and reading the Bible, they start fighting. And so the Word of God says, this is not the right kind of fast. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, and start reading from verse 3 to 9.
Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward.
See, if you do the right kind of fasting, means fasting with a humble heart, giving to the poor and needy, and don't try to show that you are fasting to show up somebody, and so you will not have your reward. But here he says, if you fast the right way, you can get healed. Verse 9.
Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity.
When you really fast according to my will, I will heal you, and when you pray, I will answer you. So our God is a prayer-answering God. He wants to heal us. He wants to keep us healthy. So if you're praying or fasting, do it according to the will of God. But if you're fasting for the name's sake, I fast every week or I fast every day or whatever, then this kind of fast will be, and God will be not pleased. But instead of getting better, things will be worse. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal.
He says, do not keep the money for you on this earth, or the treasure on this earth. Actually, he is talking to his disciples, and he is trying to say, you know, when he called the disciples, he said, forsake all and follow me. So they forsook everything and follow Christ. He said, I will give you whatever you need. The Word of God says, my God will supply all your needs. So they gave up everything and followed the Christ. Money is good, but the love of money is bad. God is not saying we should not be rich. The Word of God says, Jesus Christ became poor for you. With his poverty, you can be rich. So we should be spiritually, physically, socially, emotionally, financially, every way we can be rich. But the rich means not selfish rich. If you are selfish rich like that rich man, then we are fools. The Word of God says, the money has wings. Let's read the Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 and 5.
Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven.
The money has the wings. Money flies away. So when we have the money, we use the money wisely. The Word of God says, this money you have, if you use this money to helping others, you will bring them to the kingdom of God. That's why the Christian people help other people with their finances, so those people can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Money God has given to us to win souls, do the Lord's work, not to just keep it for ourselves. And he says, if you try to keep it, it'll go away. How many people get disaster? So that's what the Word of God says. We read in last Sunday in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10, that you should not be going after money. We go after God. Let's read verse 20.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Where our money is, our treasure is, there our heart will be. Means our money is belong to God. And God is the source of our supply. When we have need, he supplies our need on time. Verse 22.
The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Our body has a light, and that's your eyes. He says, if your eyes is holy, your whole body is holy. But if your eyes is evil, then your whole body has a darkness. And he says, that darkness, how great darkness that would be. So somebody says, how great the darkness is. Darkness is darkness. If God puts you in the hell, now somebody says hell might be, there is a light, but the hell is all one kind of darkness. The kingdom of darkness, the black fire or black smoke, than the real fire. So in heaven, we have light. We don't need a sun or moon. But the hell, even though he says hell fire, but that fire is unquenchable and is a dark fire or a kingdom of darkness. And so that's why he says, if that darkness will be, how great will be the darkness? The kingdom of darkness. That means hellfire. How great that hellfire will be. But thank God, God has delivered us from what? The kingdom of darkness. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. We are delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and we have come in the kingdom of light, that is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read verse 24. We're going to finish this soon.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Now, this is very true. The people love the money, they don't love God. And so the people, they love the money so much, they don't want to give it to God, and so their money becomes their God. And so he says, you cannot serve the God and the money same time. But if I'm serving the Lord, if the money comes to me, then I'm not after money, I'm after God, because I do not love the money, I love the Lord. Okay, let's read from verse 25.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, nor what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of ye by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Why you worry about food, your clothes? Don't worry about these things. You have no way to take care of your own self, so why you worried? And he gives the example of the birds and the flowers. Birds, they don't have any storage, but God gives them food every day. They are not thinking where I'm going to go and where I'm going to get the food. He says the flowers, they don't spin and make cloth. They don't do any kind of hard work. But God gives them beautiful colors. He said even the Solomon was king and he did not have that luxury to have those kind of beautiful things. So God gives to flower and the grass the beauty. Today they are there. Tomorrow they thrown in the oven. So he said, how much more our Heavenly Father will give it to us? Last Sunday we learned that our life is more than any birds or any animals, because God loves us more than anybody else. Our value is more than the whole world. So God is saying, why you worry for tomorrow? Tomorrow will take care of tomorrow. So he says, who are worrying these things? He said, the Gentiles or the people who are heathen, they don't have God, they worried. That's why Jesus Christ taught to his disciples, pray that you will get your daily bread. Don't worry for tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. And then he says, you have a little faith. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, if you read, he says, have faith in God. And then he says after that, you can move the mountains, you can do so many great things if you have the faith in God. Book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So Jesus lived on this earth 33 and a half years. He was never worried about anything. Okay, go to the Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 and 34.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things. God knows what you need. So when we start doing the Lord's work, when we start seeking the kingdom of God, God will supply our needs. And he says, why you worry for tomorrow? If you have trouble for today, don't take another day's trouble for today. Already you have problem this, the evil is bringing. The devil is bringing the problem. So that problem is sufficient for today. Why are you bringing another day's problem today and worrying for the double portion of time? So what the word of God is saying, take one day at a time. How are you going to eat the elephant? How you can eat the elephant? One bite at a time. And that's the way to do it. And the word of God says, don't worry for tomorrow. And we are going to read from verse 1.
Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again.
If you judge somebody, somebody is going to judge you back. And that's what he says. If you judge somebody, they are going to judge. Whatever they measure you judging them, they are going to judge you back. So many people, when they hear this scripture in the Bible, they say, hey, why are you judging us? The Bible says, don't judge. The word of God saying, you judge not people, so they will not judge you. And then he giving an example underneath. Let's read verse 3 and 4.
And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote?
One more time.
Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying, you are looking at your brother, and you are finding some fault in him, and you want to correct him. Just like somebody goes to preach somebody, or tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Once you see the person, and start talking to that person about his bad habits or his religion and everything bad about him, he's not going to listen to us. So the Word of God is saying that when we read in the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but through him the whole world should be saved. So we are not here to condemn people. We are here to build the people. So when we see somebody first time and they have some problems, we are going to love them in the Lord first and tell them the truth. And now somebody says, we should not any time tell other people their faults. Let them do whatever they want to do because we cannot judge them. Bible doesn't teach that. Here itself it says, first of all, if you have a log in your eyes, he said, actually, nobody can have the log, but this is just the saying it. Means you have more problems when you pointing a finger to somebody, you are wrong, the other finger is pointing to you. Check yourself before you point finger to somebody else. If I'm smoking, I cannot tell somebody, hey, don't smoke. That person is going to say, you smoking, why are you telling us? Then somebody says, oh, I'm old man. I lived along, now you're a young man, you don't smoke. That person is not going to listen. That's what the Word of God is saying. First of all, if you want to correct somebody, you should not be doing the same mistake. If you're doing the same mistake, you have no authority to correct that person. Verse 5, Matthew 7, 5.
Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
You are hypocrite. You have problem your own. You are living sinful life and you are trying to find fault in somebody. So he is saying, if your eyes are clear, if there is no log in your eyes, and if your life is pure, then you could say to somebody, see brother or see sister, I used to smoke, I used to drink, I used to gamble, I used to do all kinds of sin, I used to beat my wife, I was running after somebody. But Jesus Christ came into my life and he changed my life. Now I have peace, I have joy. Would you like to hear more about Jesus? Then the person will think, well, this man's life is pure and holy. He's better than me. So that person will listen to you. Nobody will tell somebody, Jesus Christ came for sinners and you are a sinner and you have to repent of your sin. People will not be having courage to preach that kind of message. That's what the Bible says. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 to 5. Here St. Paul is saying, in a church, there should be people godly, wise people, the experienced people. And if somebody does something wrong in the church or they disobey the word of God, then the church member, the actually pastor or deacon or assistant pastor, they can go to that person and try to correct it. And some church people are afraid to tell somebody that you are wrong. That's why St. Paul is giving advice here.
Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
God has given authority to judge the whole world. We are the people of God. We were sinners. God called us out of the sin. We are living pure and holy life. So we have authority to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and about their sinful life. Verse 3.
Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?
Now here is saying, not only judging the whole world, but we will have authority to judge the angels. He's talking about this end timing. So Jesus Christ said, you will be kings and priests in the millennium. when we are priests and kings, then we have authority to judge. A judge has authority, governor has authority, and the king has the authority. So we will be judging the people in the millennium. So he said, you will judging the world, you will judge the angels. Why can you understand if there is a problem in the church, you cannot judge? Verse 4.
If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren?
See, here he's saying, why cannot you judge your own people? Why you allow them to go to court? Now, brothers and sisters in the church, if they are going to same church, they are born again people, and if they have dispute between one another, a pastor is supposed to say, don't drag this person to court. Let's handle it here. And let's forgive one another and forget about this. And that's what he's saying. In the church, they should be wise people. They should be godly people and take care of the church brothers and sisters' problem. So here he's saying, you have authority to judge, but you cannot judge somebody if you're doing the same mistake. If you're doing the same thing, there are some people, they do the same thing and they hide that and they try to show somebody that they are good people. I have seen so many church leaders or pastors, they might be smoking, they might be drinking, they might be doing something wrong, but when they come to the pulpit, they try to say, I'm a holy man. The one man invited me to his church and he was smoking. And I don't know his church member knew that. It's a long story, but when he came to preach, he washed his face and preached. And what he was preaching there is nothing impossible with God. And then he called the people for prayer, and then I said to him, after everybody left, I went to his office. I said, sir, is that preaching for you or for somebody else? Because you said there is nothing impossible with God, and you are smoking yourself. And you just washed your face and you just showed them that I'm a good man and I can pray for you and God can hear my prayer. Now, why I was able to tell him? Because I don't smoke. So I have authority to tell that pastor, you're not supposed to smoke and you're not supposed to preach like that. There is nothing impossible with God. If it's nothing impossible with God for those people, the same words apply to you. You should be confessing your sins and you should be asking God to forgiveness. So here the word of God is saying, you have authority to judge somebody, but you cannot judge somebody if you're doing the same thing. Otherwise, you will be hypocrite. Matthew 7:6.
Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you.
Now somebody will say, I don't understand what he's trying to say. Don't give holy thing to dogs. He's not talking about the real dogs. He's talking about the people who act like dogs. Now, who are the people act like dog? The backslidden ones. They went to church, they stayed in the Lord for a while, and they give up on Christianity, doing some other religion or living in sin. Those people are called dogs because dog vomits and takes it back. And that's the kind of people the Word of God says they are dogs. So he says, don't give holy things to dogs.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.